As we open our prayer meeting time, you might like to turn in your Bible for a moment to Romans and chapter 8, obviously. Romans and chapter 1. And perhaps we could look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we have opened thy love letter, and here we are. So deal with us. Help us to understand that we might have the benefit and the blessing of understanding and honoring you. And our God will thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. If you would, in the light of thinking, if you're human, thinking basically, you came into the world and you took a breath, a breathing. That's the word live, to breathe. To breathe, to be alive. God gave you that breath. God gave us that breath. That's the breath we got. And by the way, he takes your last breath and mine. So every single second, we are at the bottom of the atmosphere, ocean of atmosphere, the air. We're breathers. And every breath we take is because God is allowing us to take it. Do you understand? He's allowing us to take that breath inch by inch until he has finished with the last one. So here we are. We're obligated. We are awesomely obligated. How many humans are conscious of our obligation? And remember why the obligation. Remember why, before anyone, angels included, were created, God, the Lamb of God, was slain. You've said it 1,000 times. God the Son determined with God the Father and God the Holy Ghost to create us. And he died. He knew what Adam would do. And so in the creation, the Creator, our Lord God, was willing to go to the cross to pay for the sin of Adam and Eve and all of us. So that's why you only came onto earth. You are on earth because Christ has provided a saving grace for your life. That's why you're here. God gave you the breath to be here. God will take away the breath when you're not to be here. All breathing in between is up to God to give us the next breath. You got that part? That's why you're thankful. You aren't thankful for anything here or there. You're thankful that you're still breathing. And God is giving that next breath to go to work, to go to school, to eat just dinner, to do whatever you want. God is giving you that breath. Now, so when you get saved and truly know the Lord as your Savior and receive him, when you receive him, God gives you a unique relationship to God called eternal life. It is none other than, it is nothing less than your relationship to God in Christ in your life. And that happens the moment you receive him as your Savior and never ends. And that's why you're thankful. That's why you're thankful. Now hang on. Romans chapter 1. You know it, I'm sure, at least some of you do. And I'm going to skip down to verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. His eternal power and Godhead is deity, so that they are without any excuse. Because, why is that? Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And then our point, neither were thankful. God gave them the life, the privilege to be. And when the little baby's growing, God makes himself known in a most wonderful way to all, every human, he says so. And he does so. So when we're born like that, we know. So you don't have to tell us about totem poles or religious ritual. You don't have to tell us that, because we know there's a God. And somehow we follow the adult world, the religious world, and we lose it. We become like everybody else, like we shared on Sunday. Now, having said that, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So here's our humanity on planet Earth. All of us are all around this globe on which we live. And we are under global conditions more than ever before. And so the system is full of people that have no interest in God. Interest in religion, politics, but not God. Not God personally. They don't have an interest in God. And then we can advance quickly to Christians. Christian, I'm a Christian. That doesn't mean you're saved. You know that, don't you? Lots of people say, I'm a Christian. And if you ask them what that means, it doesn't mean they've received the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. I'm not a communism, I'm not a cultist, I'm a Christian. I go to church, I sing and do all the stuff that's there. I'm a Christian without ever being saved. Without ever being saved, you know that. And then we'll advance to believers, hoping to find. So among believers, and remember our Lord Jesus said it in the beginning, John chapter 1:2. And all they said, we believe. They all said that we believe. And the Lord Jesus turned around and said, I wish you did, but you don't really believe. You say you believe, but you don't. So now we'll go to the place, skipping down, like going to the outer circle. And then there's the 11 disciples, or 12. And then we go to the 3, because you have to keep getting in to where it's supposed to be. And then we go to the believers that are supposed to be believing. What are they supposed to be believing? That they are created marvelously so. God has an awesome, awesome, awesome plan. God's purposeful creation. That's why you're created. I'm created. God's purposeful creation for his providential care. For his care. I don't want to get ahead because time will all disappear. Ephesians 2:10 and all of that. He has a wonderful plan for your life. I've told you that time and time again. And not everyone's after it. Not everyone cares. I'm telling you, churches and otherwise. I'm laying it out in the line with you a little bit. They don't care. They don't care that you become like him. And that's what it's about. To become like him. So we're supposed to grow and know him. That's right. Knowing him who gives us our breath physically. And when we get saved, get physical breath to have spiritual breath to believe. Breathing to believe. Breathing to believe. And so we're believers. And believers ought to be believing. And what are believers that are believing doing? They're thanking God. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. You expect them to do it. Why? They understand that they are here to be changed. to grow, to change. God expects them to change. That's why we're thankful. So now over, if you would, to Chronicles. Having said that little bit, let's see how it works. Over, if I can, to Chronicles. I did say that. Picking up, please. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Now David is bringing the ark into Jerusalem. And in the process, it was a very awesome thing, wonderful thing, for the ark to be finally brought into Jerusalem, into the tent, ultimately into the temple under Solomon. Now, so here's, I'm interested, just a case in point, without taking a 2,000 illustrations from the Bible. First Chronicles, chapter 16. What I'm interested, watch it. Watch what they did. Verse 4. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to give thanks and praise the Lord God of Israel. And the word to give thanks is to say something, to put something into words, to thank, to give thanks, to give expression, to acknowledge, to confess, to admit. So, sliding down verse 7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to, what's the purpose of it? To thank who? All the time, watch. It's always God. Always God. He's the one that gives us the breath every second. He's the one that gives us the life every second. Always God. Always God. Because we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God. And when God is finished, we'll disappear from planet Earth. God will take us. Now, so, verse 8. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. God, God, and God be thanked. Hang on again, verse 34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? For he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Verse 35. Say ye, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the heathen. Why? That we may give thanks. Rescue us from the heathen. To give thanks to thy name, to thy holy name, and glory to thy praise. God, we want to be able to thank you. That's what we want to do. Now hang on. One other place that will just get us ready. Over to Psalm 105, maybe. And you will note, please, in Psalm 105. And I'm going to go just the first, just the Psalms. What did David say? Make a psalm to give thanks to God. Well, here's one. Psalm 105, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Okay, Psalm 106. Praise the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. I keep going. Psalm, well, you may want to read the, well, Psalm 107. Verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, if you lived in Europe way back in the 1600s, and you were there, the dominant power, Catholicism and the rest of it, and all the stuff, formalism and everything, and all of it was there, you didn't have the freedom. You had the freedom to assemble at mass or something, but not to worship God. not to enjoy God. You weren't supposed to enjoy God. You were supposed to be obedient to the system, to enjoy God. Well, they couldn't do that. They really couldn't do that very good. So therefore, the pilgrims sailed over. And in 1620, as you know, they landed. And in 1621, they had their first Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving as it's known, Thanksgiving. And they had that Thanksgiving. And then, again, 1623, they were having another Thanksgiving. And in the process, remember the second one, 1621. There was only 50 left after 103, if I remember right. Only 50. Over half of them had died. So, they're having a big Thanksgiving, 1621. 1623, Governor Bradford gave his great proclamation. I'm going to read that. Hang on to that one. Because I don't think the average person gets that in school or anywhere. For as much as the great, and by the way, the state of Connecticut, among other things, used to every year, the governor would send a Thanksgiving proclamation to the churches to be read. You won't remember that, I do. And then the whatever guy it was stopped it. So, in as much as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and as much as he has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all the pilgrims with their wives and their little ones do gather together at the meeting house on the hill between the hours of 9 and 12 for 3 hours in the daytime on Thursday, November the 29th of this year of our Lord, 1623, and the third year since the pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock, there to listen to the pastor and render thanksgiving to Almighty God for all his blessings, William Bradford, ye governor of ye colony. Now, that was that. And the Continental Congress, after the Battle of Saratoga, they had beaten the British, and the Continental Congress issued a thanksgiving in 1777. And I'm just going to read you the first introduction. For the Thanksgiving Proclamation of November 1st, 1777, for as much as it is the indispensable duty of all men to adore the superintending providence of Almighty God, to acknowledge with gratitude their obligation to him for benefits received. We owe God. That's what they said. What did I tell you in the beginning? You owe him for your breath. That's to be human. You owe him when you're saved. To be saved, you owe them. How many people do you think like that? That's why I said Christians and churchgoers and believers and people that believe, believers. Listen, not many do that. No, they don't. They're living for themselves, and they're happy for their family to make everything work out. And they forgot. Every relationship you have on earth is terminal. You know that. Except for God. Every relationship, no matter how you value it, is terminal. Only for a while. If you love father, mother more than me, you cannot what? You cannot be my disciple. It's terminal. Now. But wonderful. What's wonderful about it? It isn't in our hands. It isn't up to us to have the right anything or the wrong anything to have it happen. God does it. God makes it happen. That's awesome. That's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And by the way, I didn't bring them out to read to you, but I could. We have George Washington's Declaration in 1789, and we have Abe Lincoln's in 1863. Lincoln, Thanksgiving Day. Now, having said that, if I can and did, you slide over with me, please, in your Bible, over to Romans. Well, no, don't go to Romans, no time. Go to Ephesians. And so as we look and seek to understand God's wonderful grace, and you will notice in Ephesians, we did it in picking up, please. In fact, let's do it a little bit differently to put it together. Over to Ephesians chapter 5. And in Ephesians chapter 5, may I pick up, please, in verse 20 directly. Giving thanks, I'll read verse 19 for a little bit of context. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always. Always means all the time. Giving thanks always for all things. And all things mean all things. Unto God. To whom do we do this? To God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we don't have any life. We have to have a relationship to God. And God gives us physical breath to have spiritual life, breathe to be believing. Now, Ephesians chapter 1. And in Ephesians chapter 1, you will notice verse 2, a little word, a big word. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking at the little word grace, little word, great big word. And you know all these things from our exercise together. John 1:14, the Word became flesh. Our Lord Jesus Christ put on perfect humanity, and he was full of what? Grace and truth. Verse 16, sliding down. What is he going to do? He's going to go, as we have received him as our Savior, we're going to receive, as we received him, full of grace and truth, same verb, we receive grace upon grace, upon grace, like the ocean, wave upon wave upon wave, never stops. Grace for this moment, an hour from now, grace for the next hour, and grace for the next day, grace for the next month, grace, 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 grace. God giving, God providing, God being everything, God. It's God save. Who created us? God. Who saves us? God. Who makes everything possible? God. Who overcomes evil with good? Who overcomes and makes it all work out? God. Thank you. Thank you. I owe. I say it. I said it all the time. I owe you, God. I owe you thanksgiving. You bet your boots. That's how we get through each day, each hour. We owe God. What? Thanksgiving. Now, here's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2. Sliding down to verse 6. to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted, highly favored in the beloved in Christ Jesus. God gave us a very special, we're sons in the Son. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Why is it all happening? His grace. It's God doing it. And since God's doing it, who's going to get the thanks? Who gets the credit? Who gets the glory? God does. No one else to have it. That's the trouble. We're willing to say thank you, but we never say, not you guys. Say thank you to God. It's a way of life. Now, having said that, sliding over if I can, over to chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. We're by grace are you saved. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, that is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now God, here we are, verse 6, chapter 2, verse 6. And God hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places, where? In Christ Jesus, he's seated at the right hand of God. Where are we? With him. As far as he's concerned, they're there. Verse 7, why is that true? That in the ages to come, it hasn't come yet, but it's coming. The ages to come, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. No one else can sit there except you guys that are in the age of grace that get saved. The only ones. Grace. Constantly grace. God. God's being God. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and all the stupid stuff we do and don't do. Wow. He's being gracious. Now, so therefore, keeping that in mind, if I can, over to chapter 3. That'll tie it together for you. Chapter 3. And picking up, please, as you know, we're in the dispensation. It's our turn on planet Earth. Israel was to show the law. We're to show the grace of God. Chapter 3, verse 2. If you have heard the dispensation, the stewardship of the grace of God, which is given me to you, would. So that's our assignment, is to show this wonderful, wonderful grace in what God does. Over to chapter 4. And chapter 4, in the light of that, in verse 6, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace, lots of believers, according to the measure, the standard of the gift of Christ. And there's not one of us. And God saved us all, the believers that are really saved, they have to be saved. All the rest of it's that I watch people come and go, and I said, man, I don't know where they are. I don't know. No, if you're on target, man, you roll up your sleeves. I'm going for it. Well, no, I can be here, I can do there, I can do this, I can do that. Sure you can. But the system, how many in the system? That's my concern. That's your concern. How many in the system want you to be perfect, perfectly presented before God in Christ? Colossians 1, 28. To be perfectly presented. That's what God wants about you. Well, I don't mind getting less. I don't know that you'd want to get less. But that's what God's business is, to be presented fully in his wonderful person. So therefore, God, you're going to give grace to every one of us. So there's not one person that can say, in God's watch care, God's providential care, if you're saved, God's outworking his will in the most wonderful, wonderful way. As you trust him, as you look to him, as you thank him, as you're conscious of his presence. Otherwise, you're up and down, up and down, up and down. You're conscious of them. And you, it isn't anything about you that you're better or lesser or other than, or you're nobody, we're all nobodies. No. It's about God making you somebody in His Son. And that's what the whole thing is about. Everything else is going to stop. So God, what do you want us? I want you to be thankful in the process. You can't build the building way up like this without the scaffolding. You got to have the scaffolding to go up. Scaffolding is just scaffolding. That's all it is. To get the workers, to get the equipment, to get the parts up here. But the scaffolding is to make possible the building. Once the building is complete, scaffolding's gone. And all you see is the building. God is right now building. Look, well, you're right here. Ephesians chapter 3, that's the local church, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. It's all about this building. That's you being changed in a body. Wonderfully so. Now, picking up verse 13. What's the purpose of the church sitting here? Till you all come in the unity, the oneness of the body of truth to be believed, the Bible, and in the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect, full, complete man, unto the measure, how much? Of the stature, how much are we supposed to? Stature to grow. Of the fullness of Christ. We're supposed to be what? Like Him. We're going to see Him. When we see Him, we will see Him as He, what? As He is. We're going to be like Him. Not like this. We're going to be like Him. That's awesome. God, that's what you're doing. Inch by inch. Breath by breath. Why am I sitting here on planet Earth still? Because God isn't finished. The unsaved world is there having a huge opportunity. All the years of their life, varying in culture and everything else, to get saved. Maybe they don't, but it's all working out. And God is going and searching up and down, as you know, the land, the world, to find whosoever would believe. To find a believer over here and a believer over here. That's what He's doing. He's saving. He's saving a group of people to represent His grace. You see, see. Now, very few people, if you're going to say, well, I'm going out and enjoy this, I'll bet you won't find many that even understand this. They don't care. They don't care about it. They don't care. Come on. It's obvious they don't care. To grow like that. And that's what we're trying to do. God help us all. So now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind if I can, over to, well, since chapter 5, John chapter, Ephesians chapter 6. And in Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to go to the end. Grace be unto you all, grace in the beginning. Grace be unto, be with you all, be with all them that love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. And the word in sincerity means sincerity. Without any interruption, no delay, no corruption, in sincerity, without interruption. Loving, 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 loving. Grace, 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 without interruption. Amen. Amen. That's what we're supposed to be. We keep breathing. We keep breathing. And none of you are having a big issue about why do I have to breathe. You're glad you can breathe. None of you should be, if you're saved, you shouldn't have an issue about believing. I didn't say being a believer. I said believing. We're supposed to be breathing. Breathing is a real thing you do, breathing. Believing is a real thing. I'm believing. It governs my behavior. It governs how I talk, how I walk. But you'll know it because I'm believing. I'm a believer. Well, no, show it. See, show it. So God, Thanksgiving. Why Thanksgiving? We owe it to God. We owe it to God from square one. So in the light of that, God, and all that you're doing and the way that you do it. Go with me, please, over to Romans. And in Romans, picking up, please, I'll do that, even though you know that. Romans chapter 6. Verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, Christ crucified us, and we went to the cross, and he rose again, and he gave us his life. Therefore, the end of verse 4, even so we also should walk in newness of life. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So we should walk in newness of life, a wonderful, wonderful newness of life. Over to chapter 8. What are we going to do as we walk in newness of life? And picking up, if I can, you know. Now I'm going to read verse 28 in the light of what we've tried to think about. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. God's working out inch by inch, breath by breath, hour by hour, his wonderful life. And we're allowed to sit in the ground like a plant and either grow or weeds or whatever, and to develop if we're going to do it. Now, verse 28, all things work together for good. Now, people say, and we're right, all things aren't good. No, they aren't. But God is good, and what he's doing, he providentially, we read it in 1777, and George Washington will say it, providence in God's wonderful management of our breathing, everyone coming and going all over the place, and God knows it all. And God knows who's saved, and God's seeking to help them grow, to know, to use what he does in outworking his wonderful blueprint, his wonderful design. And he's doing that in his grand order. And thus, inch by inch. But God's doing it so that what? We're to be thankful God is doing it. We're to be thankful God's in charge of the UN. God's in charge of Russia, China, and all of the different things out there. America, God's in charge of our president. God, you're watching it all. I am. And you're watching believers in particular. All of them should be saying thank you because God's keeping them alive. But the believers are to be saved, the real believers that are saved, they're going to be saved. And they're being saved. You're being saved. You're being blessed. How can you be blessed? God is doing what he's doing, and all things that God is doing and not doing is good, are good. They're good. So you can sit there, and God's going to do, and what he does is very, very, very good. It's good. You say it's bad. No. We reap what we sow often, etc. But I don't, in the light of that verse, Galatians, I then yell out, God be merciful to me, a sinner. God be merciful to me. Help me. That's what I say. Well, thankful. So we have to be thankful. Wonderfully, wonderfully, wonderfully thankful. So we're going to take all of our yesterdays, we'll put a verse to that. And by the way, here's all things work together for good. Verse 28, if you're still there, slide down to verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to mark out ahead of time, to be conformed, to be like something, like another, to conform to the image of his son. So I just said it a thousand different ways. What's it saying? You're to be conformed to the image of his son. inch by inch, scaffolding going up. That's what you're doing. If you're saved, say, how come I got a year? You know, you live and retire, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You can say all of those things. But hey, when you're all done, you have not one thing to say about your next breath unless God gives it. Period. You don't control it. You can have a big oxygen tank strapped around you, okay? And your breath to take the oxygen in is up to God to take you, to give your lungs working to pull it in. And if your lungs aren't going to work, it doesn't matter if you've got a 10-gallon oxygen tank on your back. It won't make any difference. Well, no difference at all. No, God said they don't think. That's the trouble, Romans chapter 1. They don't want to thank me. And that's why the world's in this condition. So over in 1 Thessalonians, and you'd guess that right, and it's wonderful. And 1 Thessalonians, think of all the, in everything give thanks, for this is the Father's will. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, chapter 5, I should say, of the three wonderful commandments, rejoice in the Lord, be doing that as a way, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 24 hours a day. Pray without ceasing, don't stop your relationship to God, keep it. How am I going to keep my relationship to God? How am I going to enjoy my relationship to God? In verse 17, verse 18, in everything give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God. Who said so? In Christ Jesus. Concerning whom? You. Concerning you. How am I going to do it? Thanks. Understand why you're saying thank you. Most people have not the foggiest. But you better understand, hopefully understand, why you say thankful. See? So it isn't a foreign word to you. It's a very formidable, awesome word in your life. Thank you. Thanksgiving. That's why the pilgrims, that's why they came. They didn't come to do churchy, be churchy. They came to worship God. They came to honor God. And they were willing to, it doesn't matter if they die, the Indians, the famine, the plague, we're going to worship God. That's what they did. It's our privilege still to worship God. Many countries you can't do what we're doing. We can still do it. How much longer? I don't know. But we can still do it. To what? Worship God. And when you worship God, you'll start to, not that you haven't, you'll start to enjoy God personally. And you'll change your life. If I could bet, I'd bet on it. It'll change your life when you start doing that. Watch it. Be saved. Be breathing. You can't go to tomorrow without breathing. And you can't go into God's forever without believing. Well,